All right. Good morning. We've been talking about this Eastern Orthodox situation that has become very popular in the news, in the Christian world anyway, in Christian news. It's become very popular here over the last couple days with, you know, Hank Hanegraaff, the Bible answer man, deciding that he was going to go Greek Orthodox or Eastern Orthodox or whatever. And it's caused quite a bit of a stir among some people. I posted a video about it and about how Hank Hanegraaff, how it's Eastern mysticism and a few other things, and had quite a few people get upset about it, and it's caused kind of a little bit of a stir there. And some surprising things, really, honestly, I see some people that I wouldn't think, that contacted me in private, that I wouldn't think would have fell for this, this Eastern Orthodox, which is nothing more than Roman Catholicism repackaged. That's all it is. It's just, it's Roman Catholicism repackaged, slightly different without the papal authority, which is coming to an end, by the way. I believe they're merging together. The Great Schism is going to be, you know, fixed. We talked about that before on previous, radio shows and things like that. And I've preached on those things before as well. But, you know, the thing is that this Eastern Orthodox is Roman Catholicism, and they don't like to admit it, okay? They don't like it. They hate it. They absolutely hate the fact that that you're telling them basically the truth. That's right, Jim, that they're going back to mama. That's all they're doing. They're doing nothing more than going back to their mama, and that is all that they are doing. So, I want to take just a kind of a snapshot little history here. It's not meant to be that in-depth or anything like that, but I want to take like a snapshot history here of Eastern Orthodox and take it from the wayoflife.org encyclopedia. This is what they believe, and this is their history. It's not meant to be in depth. I mean, we could talk about that. I could do, 2 hours on the history of all that and everything like that, but it's not meant to really do that. It's meant to drive home the point that Eastern Orthodoxy is not biblical Christianity. And so I want to read you this here, and then I'll comment on it a little bit and things like that. Orthodoxy refers to that branch of sacramental Christianity which broke off from the Roman Catholic Church in 1054 A.D. Now, see, here's the difference, okay? I don't want to get too far into this. I don't have time. I had a guy on there say, he said, hey, he said, you name somebody that believed what you believed back 1,000 years ago. I could name a lot of people that did. They were called the Waldensians. They were called the Donatists. They were called the Novationists. They were called the Petrobrusians. They were called the Paulicians. They were called a bunch of different names. They were the baptized believers. And they did not go along with Rome's baptism of infant baptism or water baptismal regeneration or anything like that. And they died for the faith. They didn't get to run kingdoms like the Eastern Kingdom and Rome and this Eastern Empire and all. No. They were hunted down and they were slaughtered by you people. All right. So, until 1054, the Eastern and Romans were two branches of the same sacramental body. The division began when the Roman Emperor Constantine moved his capital from Rome to Constantinople in 330 AD. Powerful church leaders claimed authority over large regions and were vying for supremacy. There was the Bishop of Rome in the west and 4 patriarchs in the east. The main point of contention between the Eastern and Western divisions was the papacy. More important than doctrine was the issue of power and authority. The Eastern Orthodox rejected the Pope while retaining Rome's sacramental system and most of Rome's unscriptural doctrines. So, they were already part of the apostasy that took place when baptized believers and those that were true believers of the faith separated and got away from all of those people that went apostate. They separated from all them, got away from those people. The true Christians did. You go back to the time of the Donatists and those other people. And I mean, the separation was all the way back then. So anyway, but we could go on and on about that, but I have other videos on that. See the Baptist Battle for Liberty. You can learn about a lot of things that you don't know. The main point of contention was, though, the popes, the supremacy of the pope. They didn't like that, okay? They didn't like the supremacy of the pope. The division of the Orthodox Church into the Western and Eastern Roman and Constantinople began with the division of the Roman Empire in the late 4th century AD. Toward the end of the 9th century, the dialogue between the papacy and the patriarchate became much sharper. It was at that time that Bulgaria was baptized, and an argument broke out between Rome and Constantinople over the patronage of the new Christian country. In 1054, there was a formal break between the Western Roman and Eastern Orthodox Church when Pope Leo IX and Michael Cerularis, Patriarch of Constantinople, anathematized each other. This signified a formal split. This is from a millennium of Roman Orthodoxy, by the way. Now, here's the important thing you have to understand about this, okay? There were baptized believers that were already not a part of any of this garbage. They weren't a part of it. Okay? They were persecuted, but they were not a part of this. They were not a part of this apostasy that took place, and this war of kingdoms that took place. So, anyway. Okay, let's see. Let's move on. The Roman Catholic Church and its twin, Eastern Orthodoxy. By the way, I saw a man come on and he goes, "Oh, I'm glad to hear Hank Hanegraaff went the way of Roman Orthodoxy." It's funny, isn't it? Eastern Orthodoxy. He's just one step away from Catholicism. Well, I would argue. I would say that he's in the twin. And they're all the same. And they're all going back to their mama whore in Rome. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Okay, the Roman Catholic Church and its twin Eastern Orthodoxy were formed by a spiritually adulterous relationship between the political empire and the apostate church leaders. You see that? You catch that? Bunch of apostasy. Just like it is today. The latter claimed authority over the Lord's churches and amalgamated pagan practices with New Testament truth to form an impure form of Christianity. This explains the origin of such unscriptural practices as the Mass, purgatory, sacraments, prayers to and for the dead, consecrated buildings, Mary worship, scapulars, and rosary. Eastern Orthodoxy has its roots in the same apostasy. Now, they don't do some of those same things, but most of it they do. Kissing pictures and icons. How is that biblical Christianity? Where do you see that in the Bible? Hey, kiss this picture and bow down before it. And that makes me feel closer to God. No, that's apostasy. That's paganism. That's all that is. That has nothing to do with biblical Christianity. Biblical Christianity is found in this Bible. And it is the authority of faith and practice. For all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This is what you need. Given by inspiration of God. You need this to perfect your faith, not the traditions of men. Roman Catholicism and Eastern Orthodoxy both claim direct descent from Christ and the apostles, but that this claim is bogus is evident in their non-apostolic doctrines and practices. When did Peter become a pope? When did Peter say that there was a pope? Peter was married. He had a wife. Okay? Peter didn't want men to bow down to him and worship him. In fact, he told him to stand at his feet. "I am also man," he said. As a result of the split with Rome, Eastern Orthodoxy is not united under one head. There are many groupings of Orthodox, all having the same basic doctrine and practice with some minor variation. Russian Orthodox, Albanian Orthodox, Syrian Orthodox, Ukrainian Orthodox, Bulgarian Orthodox, Romanian Orthodox, Serbian Orthodox, Antiochian Orthodox, etc. Though not united under a world headquarters, these groupings are united separately into episcopal councils over which a bishop rules. Also, each group is in turn in formal relations with the Patriarch of Constantinople, who presides over all the Eastern Orthodox churches. No one patriarch is responsible to any other patriarch, yet all are within the jurisdiction of an ecumenical council of all churches, in the communion with the Patriarch of Constantinople, who holds the title of Ecumenical Patriarch. It's from their handbook. So they got their own pope. From a biblical perspective, there is little difference between the ecclesiology of Roman Catholicism and that of Eastern Orthodoxy, both incorporated an unscriptural form of church government through which a intra-church bureaucracy lords over the local assembly. So what's their doctrine? What do they hold to? What do they believe in? Yeah, by the way, if you're on Facebook, share this link. Jim, if you're able to, share it on my public page. So you can go there and share it on, you know, Twitter, and share it wherever you can. So this truth gets out there to as many people as we possibly can. Because Eastern Orthodoxy is not biblical Christianity. It's Roman Catholicism repackaged. In addition to reject, and by the way, not repackaged that well either. In addition to rejecting the papacy with its doctrine of supremacy and infallibility, Eastern Orthodoxy rejects purgatory and the doctrine of indulgences. Well, that's good. Like Roman Catholicism, Orthodoxy has a consecrated priesthood and seven sacraments which only the priests have authority to perform. Baptism, anointing, communion, penance. Holy orders, marriage, and holy unction. Infants and adults are baptized by threefold immersion. Sacraments are believed to be channels of grace, as contrasted to the New Testament ordinance of baptism and the Lord's Supper, which are simple memorials rather than actual means of grace. So what does that mean, people? Because there's some confusion about that. What does that mean exactly? Well, means of grace means that you obtain grace through baptism and through the sacraments. What is that? It's apostasy. It's a lie. It doesn't believe in the all-sufficiency of Christ to save you from your sins. It's not trusting Christ alone for salvation. It's trusting some kind of ceremony. So if I don't receive this ceremony from who? From the bishop, then I can't be saved. Sacraments are believed to be channels of grace. Orthodoxy practices the Mass of the Holy Eucharist. Eucharist means praise, whereby Christ supposedly is sacrificed anew, and bread and wine of the Eucharist become the actual body and blood of Christ. So they believe in basically a form of transubstantiation, that turns into the actual body and blood of Christ. They're cannibals. They're a bunch of cannibals. Orthodoxy, that's what they practice. Okay. Orthodoxy worships Mary as the mother of God. Mary is the mother of Jesus, the incarnate Son of God, who is God, manifest in the flesh. But she is not the mother of God. She is not the Queen of Heaven. And that's how Roman Catholicism, that's how Eastern Orthodoxy worship her. They worship her. They worship her as the mother of God. Prayers are offered for the dead, who also are believed to pray for those on earth. Justification is attained through faith and works. So, listen. They follow the same false theology of Mary. They don't believe that Mary had children after Jesus, which the Bible clearly says that Jesus had brothers and sisters. In 1990, he had family members. In 1990, there were an estimated 3 million Orthodox Church members in the United States. Though membership statistics are unreliable due to the fact that they are based on baptismal records rather than active participation in church life. In 1987, reported estimated 173 million Orthodox worldwide, but again, this statistic almost meaningless in relation to how many adults actually practice the Orthodox faith. The liturgy, or the liturgy. Orthodoxy is extremely focused on the liturgy. The liturgical. Ritualistic forms of religion. And icons. I call it the liturgy. Because it's a bunch of dung. It's not biblical. It's idolatry. It breaks the commandments of God. What are the commandments of God? Let's turn there. Exodus. Hey, I turned right there. Exodus chapter 20. Thou shalt have no... I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me. It's Christ's promise right there. That's what he said. What did he say? Judgment on them. Okay, so Orthodoxy is extremely focused on liturgy, or the liturgy, sorry, and icons. The latter are images which are supposed to represent various saints and spiritual realities. I've seen them. I've watched them kiss pictures of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John or something. I don't know who it is. They walk in, they burn incense to it, and they kiss it. What are those? Sounds like the Queen of Heaven. Sounds like what God condemned in Jeremiah. Right? Sounds like a bunch of pagan ceremonies. Prayers are addressed before these icons. The Orthodox claim, by the way, the Orthodox claim they do not worship these as idols. Now, I've heard these Greek Orthodox people as well. I've heard them pray to the saints. Saint Anthony, help me find my teeth, like I said the other day in that video. I watched the guy. Where do you find that in the Bible? In fact, you're forbidden to do that. The Bible says not to pray to the host of heaven, which are angels and other people like that, but not to pray to the dead either. You're not to do that. The Orthodox claim do not worship these as idols, but they serve the same purpose. Prayers are addressed before these icons. Candles are burned before them. Incense and holy water is put upon them. In biblical terminology, icons are indeed idols. Gospel orthodoxy. Orthodoxy, here's what they believe. Orthodoxy preaches a false gospel according to Orthodox, teaching baptism, even of infants, is the means whereby an individual is born into Christ and becomes a Christian. This false gospel is cited from one of their own publications. Baptism is a new birth. It is being born to the life made new by our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what they say. It means to be alive in Christ. Through holy baptism, all become Christ. We become Christians and have the opportunity to inherit God's kingdom. Why in the world would any parents who claim to be Christians want to put off making their offspring Christians as soon as possible? Don't they want their infants to share in the kingdom of God? The baptized one becomes a member of Christ's body, his church. This is what they believe. This is what they hold to. The Orthodox Church also advocates prayers to and for the dead, and the false, wicked idea that the living can aid in the salvation of the deceased through good works. But the soul of the deceased is aided by the prayers of the church, of all those who knew and loved him, and also by acts of charity carried out for his sake. By doing good works for the sake of those who are dead, we are, as it were, completing what they left undone, paying their debts and offering our own sacrifice to the merciful Lord on their behalf. That's the Journal of the Moscow Patriarchate, number 10, 1976. In the Journal of the Moscow Patriarch, number 4, 1980, we find the following false teachings about Mary, salvation, and the Lord's Supper. When one asserts his faith in the Son of God, the Son of the ever-Virgin Mary, the Mother of God, note that false Catholic doctrines, that Mary is the mother of God and a perpetual virgin, meaning that she had no other children after Jesus. He accepts, first of all, the words of faith into his heart, confesses them orally, sincerely repents of his former sins, and washes them away in the sacrament of baptism. Then God the Word enters the baptized one as though into the womb of the Blessed Virgin and remains in him like a seed. By partaking of the Holy Eucharist, a Christian made one with Christ. Where do you find that in the Word of God? You don't. But look what they hold to. That's their false teaching about Mary, about salvation. They're obsessed. These people are obsessed with women. They're obsessed with spirit. It's nothing but the spirit of Jezebel. Mary was not exalted above. Right? No. That's the Queen of Heaven garbage is all it is. It's paganism. Babylonian paganism. From these quotes, it's obvious that the Orthodox Church is entirely apostate. It holds the same basic set of false beliefs as the Roman Catholic Church, from which it broke away in the 9th century. The Eastern Orthodox Churches are members of and form an influential bloc within the World Council of Churches. In recent years, steps have also been taken to reconcile the Eastern Orthodox with the Roman Catholic Church. In 1965, Pope Paul VI and Patriarch Athenagoras formally lifted the excommunication of 1054. So, what happened here? Basically, and then we talked about the Great Schism before, and that's what took place there. These people are nothing but baptized pagans. That's all they are. It's not biblical Christianity. Biblical Christianity is the faith once delivered unto the saints. Right? that we find in Jude, that we are to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. What is the faith once delivered unto the saints? Well, it's the first principles, right? That's the first principles. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, that's repentance, and of faith toward God, repentance and faith, of the doctrine of baptisms, and of the laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Those are the first principles. What they're teaching is a bunch of Babylonian nonsense. It's not biblical Christianity. And let it be accursed. Don't fall for that sacramental nonsense as a means of grace. Grace is found in Jesus Christ alone. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The Bible says that we come in repentance and faith to Christ, and his blood washes away our sins. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Right? So the Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. We don't get baptized until we believe the gospel. Philip and the eunuch, what doth hinder me to be baptized? If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And then he was born again, and then he was baptized. But not before. The Philippian jailer, the same thing. Trembling, he said, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You don't get washed in the tub. You get washed in the blood. Jesus alone can save, that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul said that. He said that in 1 Corinthians. He said that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel, friend. Believe the gospel and be saved. Trust Jesus alone for salvation. And he'll save your soul.